Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you so much for listening to the show, sharing with a friend. If you're listening to this on the social media sites, 12 p.m. Pacific, or on YouTube, thanks for tagging someone, sharing with a friend. Appreciate the love. It keeps this show growing like crazy, which is such a humbling experience. Anyways, hope you guys had a great three-day weekend. Hope you guys did a lot of great stuff, got relaxed, got to spend a lot of time with your friends and family, and just be able to regroup for the work that God has for us ahead this week and the rest of the year. I don't know if you heard, you probably did, that Amazon was going to build one of their new headquarters in New York, and there was this big socialist push to get them to not have their headquarters there. AOC got involved, some state representatives got on TV, and they were interviewed. And it was so funny on one hand, but also extremely scary on the other, to hear their socialist totalitarian comments and phrases that they were using. It's really scary because it's code and they're playing on people's emotions and they are not even making economic sense. So I want to go through today some things that just AOC has said, which just blows my mind. I don't know how you can have a degree from a school like Boston University. I think it was Boston, maybe Boston College. I don't know how you can have an economics degree and not understand how capitalism, how economics works. No wonder she's a socialist. I guess it shouldn't be surprising when you're a socialist, when you're a bleeding heart, and you actually believe this stuff. It's not surprising you don't know anything about economics. So we're going to go through a video clip. We're going to talk about what she said over the weekend. Before we do, go over to crosspolitic.com, become a member. There are such exciting things that are going to be coming out this year. You get so many great benefits, one of which is you get one of these sweet HTBT mugs. A lot of you have them now. They hold all the liquids you could ever think of. But it's great. It's a big 15-ounce cup you get to hold. Like, you put all your fingers in it. I have big hands, so it's really nice. Those of you that have one know it. But beyond that, beyond when you put HTBT in a memo field when you subscribe, you get all the benefits from the Fight, Laugh, Feast network. You get all the content from all the different shows. It is exclusive for members only. And there just might happen to be some awesome new portals coming out, wink, wink, that is just going to be amazing, where we are going to be able to come together more as a community, discuss things, discuss show topics, interact with your host of all the different shows. It's going to be great. And when you start subscribing today, you are coming alongside of us as God is blessing us, growing the network, growing our shows, growing our viewership, growing the audience, and you get to come along and be part of it. You get to contribute in what the Lord is doing with us, proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. Don't forget about the business plan contest. You have till March 31st. You can look at episode 90 to see more of the details, or you can look in the show notes for the official rules. You can reach out to me with any of your questions, comments, feedback, topics you want me to explore. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. And you can also find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. Our show's live stream on the Cross Politic channel, soon to be the Fight, Laugh, Feast channels. So let's get into this. And this is like kind of a fun thing for me. It's getting fun because these people are so nuts. It's just laughable. But at the same time, we need to take it very seriously. If you just think about progressives, and it's in their name, they don't really hide it, what they say today is going to be assumed as gospel, quote unquote, 10, 15 years from now. And if you look back 10, 15 years before this, they would have never said what they say today. And 10, 15 years ago looked so normal, even though it's just as crazy as what we're going through today. And if you go back and back and back, because they know to not take big leaps, but they take small leaps, small steps, and they inch their way towards their goal. It's in their name, progressive. And that's what's so scary about this is not the end. They can never be satisfied. Totalitarian dictatorships, Marxism, all of these powerful power grabs by the government is never satisfied. They always want more until they consume everything and implode, like China did, having to become more capitalistic, like Russia, the USSR did. They had to become more capitalistic to provide wealth because no one else could keep up with the capitalist system. because people are made to be free. People are made to have responsibility for their own private property. And God has given us the responsibility. He has given us the need to be those people that take what they have and make better decisions, make value, make benefits to the people around them to grow what they have. God has put that in us to do. And when you take that away, it just doesn't work. So Amazon was going to be putting 25,000 jobs, I think it was over 10 years. And AOC said this, AOC responding to criticism, this is a tweet from Alan Smith, I'll pull this up. Said AOC responding to criticism that by Amazon pulling out of the HQ2 in Queens, 25,000 jobs were lost. We were subsidizing those jobs. Says if State City was willing to give away $3 billion for this deal, investments can be made in hiring teachers and fixing subways. Now, this is very shocking to me. And again, it shouldn't be shocking because socialists don't know anything about economics. But she actually thinks that that $3 billion that the Amazon was going to get in tax relief that they didn't have to pay was actual money that the city was going to write a check to Amazon for them bringing their offices to the city. And it was such, and you know this because she was saying, oh, then we can use this for hiring teachers and fixing subways. And that's just not how it works. When these companies negotiate tax relief, tax benefits, and other benefits when they move to a state, they're saying that they don't want to pay as much taxes as a normal business can. Now, to be on her side in a way, I don't think that's good either. Taxes should be so low where no one needs subsidies. But if individual states want to compete and bring in business, or not in this case, I mean, New York is driving people out like crazy, we'll get to in a second, it is up to them. But there should be equal playing field for everyone, and companies should not be favored one over another by governments. That's not free markets. That's not best for the people as a whole. That we should be incentivizing free trade, free markets, free interaction between people in the community and globally. And that's when every country, every person, and everyone in the economic system is going to get the most value, not when one company gets favored over another. Because another company is still paying those high taxes, even though Amazon got that tax break. So in a way, I agree with her. But obviously, I don't agree with that New York is giving them $3 billion. It was funny, my wife just sent me over this link from the Blaze article right before we were getting into this. And it says that AOC got in a Twitter battle with a guy. He said, the customer, I'd like to order 25 pizzas. I have a $10 off coupon I'd like to use too. AOC, no, you must pay full menu price. I will not accept your evil coupon. Customer, I'll just take my business elsewhere. AOC, hey boss, I just saved $10. Can I have a raise? And that is such a great analogy of what is happening here. Is basically Amazon was asking for a coupon that no other company was going to get because of their size, because of how much money that they were going to bring into the state, into the city. And they were going to get tax relief. And they were shopping around from state to state, getting each state to compete. And they finally settled on Virginia, Nashville, I believe, and New York. And then finally, they're like, nope, can't do this. New York didn't want the business. And it's sad because that deal would have brought prosperity. It would have brought wealth to New York. But New York doesn't care about prosperity. It doesn't care about its citizens. It cares about control. And we're seeing their masks come off. And that's one of the great things about Donald Trump is we're seeing their true colors. The end game for progressive is just more control. And this is no different. This is a shocking statistic to prove the point that New York doesn't care about themselves. They're driving their citizens out. New York is just one of nine states to see a decrease in their population over the last year. They lost 190,000 residents in 1 year. Now, compared to those other nine, it was like Illinois, West Virginia, Louisiana, Hawaii, Mississippi, Alaska, Connecticut, Wyoming. Combined, they lost 78,000 compared to New York's 190,000. So New York has almost, or actually a little more, lost twice as much as the next nine other states that lost in their population. So that 190,000 is really significant. And their policies are causing that. Their high taxation, these policies that are damaging people and their businesses and their way, lifestyle, they have a choice to move. And that is the great thing about federalism, about states' rights, is that they have that option. And that is why liberals, progressives want to have such a strong federal, national government, is because it's a lot harder to move countries than it is to move states. And that is one of the ways that we need to be fighting, that we need to be striving for success in the political realm by understanding these attacks and understanding what socialism really means, what high taxation, what high regulations really mean. It means that you drive businesses away, that you reduce wealth in your community, in your state, in your city. And it's so sad because, like, one of the attacks that they were having on Amazon was that home prices were going to go up, the streets were going to be more crowded, the subway system was going to be more crowded, these attacks. But what does that mean? That means more people are spending more money and able to afford those prices, which drive those prices up. Because remember, we've talked about it before, demand requires two things, willingness and ability. And if there is not both of those things together at one time, those prices aren't going to go up. They're going to go down. And the fact that prices would go up is a sign that the area is getting wealthier. San Francisco is extremely wealthy. They have a very big homeless issue, and they have a big gap between the wealthy and the poor. But that's not because businesses are growing. That's because of a lot of policies that have high taxes, that zoning laws, and a bunch of other government regulations that causes the income inequality, the gap in wealth. That's a whole nother topic. So let's get into this state representative. He is from New York, and just some of the things that he's been saying that is incredibly dangerous. And we're going to take this clip by clip.
Amazon is reconsidering putting HQ2 in New York. What's your reaction to that?
My reaction is this is the type of extortion by Amazon that's got us into this mess in the first place. They think they could sit there in Seattle and dictate terms and hope that governments bend to their will.
And you can see right off of the bat how he is framing this as extortion. They're dictating their will to the government. Now, I want you to understand something. Amazon is not owned solely by Jeff Bezos. I think there's 800 million shares outstanding, owned by people like you and like me, people that have invested money in their 401ks, that have built or invested in mutual funds, that have bought shares of Amazon. Amazon is a company owned by millions of people. I'm assuming millions of people. I guess I shouldn't say that. I mean, fewer than that could own it. But there are tons of shares outstanding. Tons of people are invested in Amazon doing well for their own financial good. And it is a company with private property rights determining where they want to do business and telling states, telling cities, telling governments that if you raise these taxes, we're going to go somewhere else. And what is this socialist's perspective on that? That's extortion. Who is this private company? Who are these private individuals? Who are these citizens who own shares of Amazon to tell me, the government, what I can do with your money? Who are you to tell me that I can't steal your money? That's the mindset that these people have. And they have a very big sword in state governments and federal governments. And we should be very fearful, and not fearful in a way where we stop fighting, but where we rise up to the challenge and fight back and call these people out for what they are doing.
$3 billion is for Amazon to come here is an outrage, and it always has been.
$3 billion is an outrage. Now, remember what we said. It's not that the state was paying them $3 billion. They were able to keep $3 billion of that. $3 billion of tax money that would have gone to the state, they got to keep instead. To do what? What do companies do? They issue dividend to shareholders, which again is you and me. They invest that money to create more wealth and create more assets to generate more wealth. They pay out bonuses to employees. all really good things. The things that lead to increased home prices because people have more buying power that work for those companies.
What I've said is jobs are good, but we need to get them the right way. And we shouldn't be subsidizing them to the tune of $3 billion plus.
Now, again, this is one part I wanted to just leave in there because I do agree that we shouldn't be going after jobs by giving special treatment to big companies. I'm totally on board with that.
Now, if I'm Google and I see that Amazon is successful in extorting $3 billion from the state, I'm on the phone the next day saying, well, where's my money?
So they're starting to see the ramifications of doing this. Isn't if they have to give it to one person, why wouldn't they be giving it to another? And it's causing this chain effect that all these big companies are gonna ask for tax breaks. So my question is, why not just give all of us a tax break? If this is going to help bring in revenue, tax revenue, like they admit it does, if this is gonna bring jobs to your state, why not lower taxes for everybody, for every business? Why are you only giving it to certain businesses?
This is a discussion that should be taking place on a national level about whether this is the right way to engage in economic development policy in this country.
In legal issues, when there's precedent set, when a judge makes an opinion and there's an appeals court, a lot of the smaller states look to bigger states like New York and California. And this has created a culture where, in a lot of ways, states look to these big states for guidance on a lot of different issues in the same way. And they become kind of like the big brothers of the smaller states, where the legislatures, where the judges, where other small city councils or controllers of the counties look to, and they know it. And what he's trying to do here is set a national tone for other states to do the same. This isn't just a New York issue. This is an American issue. And we're seeing these people permeate through our states, starting in California, starting in New York, starting in DC. And it's going to start coming to us in the smaller states, the states that don't have such a liberal blue identity right now. It's coming. And we need to be prepared. And we need to be shoring up our defenses and be teaching our children, be teaching our friends, be teaching our coworkers that this rhetoric is dangerous and is going to ruin our economy and our country.
We are throwing our public dollars at the wealthiest of the wealthy and hope that we get some of it back due to their activity. That's Reaganomics. That's trickle-down economics that was discredited a long time ago.
I just want to say this because it's a big pet peeve of mine. Trickle-down economics was a demeaning term used to what Reagan was saying. And it wasn't disproven what Reagan did. In fact, it grew tax revenue even though tax cuts went into effect. And it also boosted the economy. What we argue is that when companies can grow and generate more wealth, it's not necessarily that the smallest person, the lowest common denominator, the lowest employee, the janitor is going to be making millions of dollars like the CEO, but that products are going to be created and they're going to be created with more technology. They're going to be created with new features. And that also jobs are going to be created. And that is what we talk about when we're talking about tax cuts and having investment done in business. It's not that the money is going to magically trickle down. It's that businesses are allowed to keep more of their money, which will let them create more wealth and create a richer society altogether.
Well, I would say they should start acting like a responsible corporate citizen and stop exacerbating the concentration of power that's moving way too much in the direction of private corporate interests in this country.
You can see it. He is understanding the battle. He is trying to bring power to the government and away from private companies. And we were just going to leave it with that. We ran out of time. And I just want to reiterate this. There is a war going on for small business, for big business, for capitalism, for what you can do with your own private money. And on the other side is the government trying to take those rights away from you, the freedom to invest in what you want to invest in, to create what you want to create, to use your own private property to generate wealth however you see fit. The government wants to tell you what to do. The government wants to tell you how to do it. The government wants to tell you how to take your money and spend it. And that is the battle that's going to be happening over the next 10 to 15 years. And if we don't get engaged as business people, as business leaders, if we're not talking about this at our companies, to our employees, to our bosses. If we just let this go, if we let those liberal commons go at work and not say anything because we're too scared to stand up as conservatives, then we are going to be losing a lot of opportunities to be successful in the future for ourselves and our children. Pray about that. Think about it. What can you do to get into this fight? And we'll talk to you next time. God bless.